Hello and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. It's a Friday. The weekend is almost upon us, only hours away. Frank, it is the highlight of my week, essentially, to get to hear your voice on a Friday. I'm like the Pavlovian dog there. Once I hear you, I know it's the weekend coming along. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad. I really appreciate that sarcasm.
No, it's not sarcasm. Genuinely, you are the beacon of the weekend. You signal it to me. And we're joined by Ruby Walsh, who has decided to join us after two Fridays off in a row. Ruby, how are things?
You're very welcome, Tom. I'm delighted to be back part of the team. I was starting to feel left out. I got the vibe that you wanted Paddy more than me, so I took your hint and took a couple of weeks off.
I'm delighted. I hope the break did you well. Righto, lots to look forward to this weekend. Cheltenham is back on our television screens. We're going to look at Saturday's card there. And the first race we're going to look at on ITV at 1:15 is the Spreadex Handicap Chase. Iblio tops the betting at 100-30 for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch. Zanza 4-1 next in 9-2. Magic Saint Capeland is fives alongside the well-handicapped for 100 million years, Sky Pirate. Forrest Behan, 11s, alongside Nietzsche, and 14-1, and bigger the rest. Frank, we'll start with you. When the mud starts flying, what did you say last week? Something about Venetia Williams when the mud starts flying or something like that. Is that why Iblio is favourite here?
No, his second at Ascot was franked by Moon of Gold, running well behind First Flow. He's obviously relatively unexposed over fences. The ground at the moment is good to soft in places, and there isn't that much more rain forecast. So I'm not sure the ground's actually going to be ideal for him, and I'd probably be looking to take him on. And I'm going to go with the forever well-handicapped Sky Pirate. I'm a glutton for punishment. Like, look, he's not a warrior of the turf. We can safely say that. But I thought he was very unlucky in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, where he was held up kind of two-thirds of the way back, crept through the race, thought he was given a brilliant ride, produced kind of come to the second last, and he made an awful mistake, sprawled and landing, and lost all chance, finished fifth. I think he would have went very close had he not made that mistake. Look, I'm not going to say he would have won, because he's not the type of horse to put his head down in battle. But I was just wondering, he's going to carry 10-1 here. Obviously, Magic Saints off a high mark of 159. Tom Scudamore's book, too, obviously was on the stables, Claude Cap, in the Ladbroke, where he changed tactics and Claude Cap and went from the front. I'm just wondering, might he try something like that with Sky Pirate, who obviously stays further. He's never run over 2 miles before. The shortest trip he's run over is 2.3 miles. I just thought he potentially could ride him a bit differently to see how it works down to 2 miles. He travels so powerfully through his races that you think this might actually suit him. And I'm just going to give him a chance. I think it's kind of for fear of missing out. He's going to win someday and I just don't want to miss him.
FOMO. Ruby, what did you like here?
Yeah, look, Frank makes a compelling case, but I still like Zanza. I tipped him in Newbury the last day when he beat the King of May. He's up £7. And I just think he's an improver. He was second to All Mankind before that in Warwick. All Mankind went and won the Henry VIII last weekend. He's a novice. He was well behind Eldorado Allen on his debut in Newbury. But I think Zanza has improved. He's up to 145. He's only 139 hurdler. But I think he's a better chaser. I'm going to roll with Zanza, who looks to be improving.
150 at Cheltenham is the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, and it looks a really good race. A competitive handicap chase. Master Tommy Tucker and Al Dancer are joint 6-1 favourites at the moment. Sapage is 13-2 next in alongside Windsor Avenue. Cool Cody 8-1 and then it's 10-1 at Midnight Shadow and Chatham Street Lad 11-1 Saint Sonnet and 12's Bar. Ruby, we'll start with you. What did you like?
I'm going with the favourite, Al Dancer. I think he gave Master Tommy Tucker £6 when he beat him in Newton Abbott. He's going to get £3 off him tomorrow or today, whatever day, Saturday. And I thought he ran reasonably well in the Paddy Power. I actually think he's more of a stayer than a speed horse because you won a Betfair hurdle. People have in their head he's a 2 miler. I think he's crying out to go up and trip. I know it's the same distance as the Paddy Power Gold Cup, but you're changing track. It's onto the new course today instead of the old course. And I just think that'll suit Al Dancer. He'll get to travel for longer because it's more of a stamina race. And I think he'll have to turn a foot at the end to beat these.
Frank, extra places here, no doubt. I see Cool Cody, the Paddy Power Gold Cup winner, shortening up slightly. Anything standing out to you at the present moment?
Yeah, we're actually going to pay six places, Tom. So, plenty of each way value. I thought it was very interesting. I'd agree, Ruby. Al Dancer, I would think, will go off favourite and has a really strong chance. I think the bit of better ground might actually suit him a bit too. The one I'm going to give a chance to is Staying Sonnet for Paul Nicholls. Now, he's won it four times in the last 10 years. He's a Clandos O'Boe finished second as well in that time. And just looking at the profile of those winners, Pocklin was fifth in the Paddy Power, then won this. That was back in 2010. Union East ran the Novice Chase before winning this. Froton was well beaten in the Paddy Power when he won this in 2016. And then in 2018, he was second in the Paddy Power. Look, since I was kind of fancied in the Paddy Power, but to me, I thought he ran a really good race on to make a mistake, three out, completely emptied after that then. It just took the wind out of the sails, and I'd say the run might have been needed a touch as well. I think he'll step forward massively for the tongue tie goes on jockey bookings is the third string Nicholls, but I thought he shaped better than obviously he fell at the last then tired, but I thought he shaped well for a long way that day. And just the price, he's 14 to 1 is the best out there at the moment. I think that's very fair. I can see him stepping forward a fair bit, and he's still only a very young horse, so I think he could be improving.
225 at Cheltenham is the Albert Bartlett Novice Hurdle, and Ashtown Lad tops the betting at 11 to 4. Danny Kerwin is 3s. Ask a Honeybee 9 to 2 alongside Winhouse. And John McConnell sends over Make Good, who was a 13 to 2 shot. And Frank, I thought, was pretty interesting. That form behind N'Golo looks pretty good now, and he could maybe be under the radar in this kind of a market, couldn't he?
Yeah, it is a big step up in trip, though, isn't it? Like, as in winning very easily at Gore in the last day for me, it goes over 2 miles, up to 3 miles. I don't know, I'd be wanting to take him on anyway. Looking at the market, I only looked at it for the first time last night, and I was actually a little bit surprised Ashtown Lad was favourite, particularly over Ask a Honeybee. Ask a Honeybee beat him over Shorter at Weatherby earlier in the year. Look, Ashtown Lad's improved since he improved for stepping up to 3 miles the last day, but it was only a handicap off a mark of 123. Ask a Honeybee looked an absolute dour stayer at Newcastle when beaten ahead. Didn't jump great. I think if he jumped better, he'd have won, but he was really staying on strongly at the end. I think step up and triple suit him. I think Danny Corbin's potential class angle in the race, came with a big reputation, was impressed for winning his bumper, took 5 goals to get over off the mark over hurdles. I thought he was quite impressed with Ascot the last day. Nicholls claims that 3 miles would be the make of him, and I'm not going to disagree with him. He has the potential, but he is 7 rising 8. I just thought the one that was interesting was Took the Lot for Nigel Twiston Davis. Last 6 years, he's won the race 3 times, had a second and a third as well. This Took the Lot, 3 runs in bumpers last year, didn't show a whole pile, was beaten in second on his hurdles debut over 2 miles 3 at Fontwell, and then won very easily in 2 races at Bangover, just short of 2.5 miles. I think the step up and triple really suit him. He looks to be improving. I don't think the races at Bangor weren't overly strong, but I don't think this is a very strong race. I think if you can run to slightly over 140, maybe 142 or 143, you're going to win. I think he's capable of maybe making that step up. Just at the prices, I think he's about 10 to 1. He doesn't have that much to find. And considering Ashtown Lad is favourite at 11 to 4, who's rated £5 higher than him, yeah, I'd take a chance on the Twiston Davis horse.
Ruby?
I like Danny Kerwin. I think the step up and trip will bring about huge improvement in him. He looks a dour stayer. 3 mile hurdle are written all over him. He's the one for me.
3 o'clock at Cheltenham is the Millionaire Chase qualifier this week. It is the Unibet International Hurdle. If you opt into the Millionaire Chase on paddypower.com and back the winner of this race, you go into a draw to potentially win £1 million in the Millionaire Chase on New Year's Day. All the details are on paddypower.com. But the important part for now and for the two men joining me is to find the winner of the race. Goshen makes his seasonal reappearance after unseating at the festival. He's the 11-5 favourite. Frank's favourite price, Soul Royale, is 5-1 next in, alongside Song for Someone, 13-2 Silver Streak. Chitabello is 15-2, 9-1 Baliendi, and 12's Bar. Frank, need to find the winner. What is it going to be?
Well, first I'm going to correct you and say that 85-40 is my favourite price.
Sorry.
I kind of had it in my head that I wanted to take Goshen on when I started pricing the race. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought, this is a race full of horses, all rated in the 150s. And Soriel's top rated on 158. And that is probably the limit of his ability. And I don't think anything else can run above 160. And if there's one horse in the race that it could be a champion hurdle horse and could run to a mark of 165 plus, it is Goshen. Look, if he was coming here without running twice on the flat, I'd be thinking he'd be even money. Possibly even odds on. Those two flat runs, yeah, they were a bit disappointing, but he was running off 88 in decent handicaps. They weren't weak races or anything. And like, if you go back to the Triumph, he was going to absolutely bolt in. And now that form looks stronger with Aspire Tower beating Abracadabra in the WKD hurdle at Down Royal and All Mankind winning the Henry VIII grade one over fences last week. He was absolutely going to annihilate the two of them. And I just think, yeah, it's hard to look beyond, and it's getting out to a price. I think he's, there might be best price 11-4. Like, we're a little bit under 11-5. I'd make him short on that again. I just think he's the one horse who is potentially a champion hurdle horse. And until he gets beaten, I'm not going to oppose him.
Ruby, there's kind of an old tall tale of beware the kind of juvenile hurdles in juvenile hurdlers in their following season. Kind of people would generally be wary of them. A lot of the times they don't train on. Some of them book the trend. Could you see Goshen as being one of those who might book the trend and kick on as an older horse?
I wouldn't as much say as they don't train on, Tom. It's just that they get out of juvenile company and in against older, harder horses, and some of them aren't capable of making the step up. And it, look, the trends are there for everyone to see. More of them don't than do. But Goshen, I thought his performance in last year's Triumph was just incredible. I mean, Jimmy Moore switched him out down the hill to the third hurdle. And from there on, he's just put his foot on the accelerator. And this horse has just kept going and going faster. And he was going to win really impressively. I think he'll win here. I think he'll win here. I think the only danger is Song for Someone. But I wouldn't be worried about his flat runs. If you look at Sharjah, who was second in last year's champion hurdle, look at a couple of flat runs he's had for Willie Mullins. They're worse than Goshen's. So some horses are just better jumpers than they are flat horses. Goshen, I think, is one of those. And I think he'd be impossible to beat here with 11 stone, getting £6 off of all of these. I'd nearly fancy him giving these horses £6.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. New Year's Day 2021, and Paddy Power will be giving away £1 million to one lucky punter in the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase at Cheltenham. To enter, simply opt in and back the winner in this week's qualifier race at 3 o'clock at Cheltenham on Saturday to be in with a chance. In your face, 2020. For more details, just open our website or app. Paddy Power. Terms and conditions apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Signing off from Cheltenham on Saturday with the 3:35. It's the Close Brothers Mares Handicap Hurdle. Indefatigable. The Martin Pipe winner is the 130 favourite. Mia Grace 4-1. The White Mouse 9-2 alongside Aggie with it. And it's 8's Bar. Frank, what do you like?
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. Look, Indefatigable has a really solid course form. Obviously won the Martin Pipe off mark of 145. It's £6 higher here. But she was second to Dom de Campanet in this race last year off a stone lower than what she's running off here. She's won a listed hurdle here too. So she's really good at the track. But it is a tough mark, and she's giving a lot of weight to a couple of horses who are unexposed. Aggie with it has won her last two, starts off in handicaps off mark of 127. She's interesting. The Bay Birch has some decent form here. last year over fences. She wasn't disgraced in the Grand Annual off a mark of 140. She finished midfield. She's running off 15 pounds low over hurdles. She's a little bit interesting. But I thought the White Mouse was quite impressive when she won a Mayor's Handicap hurdle over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs at Wincanton a month ago. She'd been off the track for 18 months. She had won. She'd been running really well at Newbury when she fell in that Mayor's Handicap. I think it's novice Mayor's Handicap hurdle before she had the absence. But I thought the way she won at Wincanton, there was far more to come from her. She's only gone up 8 pounds, and that's very fair. She had Molly Ollie's Wishes and Eglantine Desai way behind her that day. She's actually, Molly Ollie's Wishes can't reverse. She's won since and gone up 6 pounds, so she can't reverse with her. I just thought carrying 10.5, getting all that weight, even though Indefatigable is obviously the class first, I thought the White Mouse, if she doesn't bounce, I think she's got really solid claims.
Ruby?
I thought I had a unique one with the White Mouse, but obviously I don't. There's me, all my homework done. Thought I'd definitely have one that Frank wouldn't have copped. But look, hey, I'm kind of chuffed that Frank picked it out as well. I think Eglantine Desai going back up in trip is probably overpriced, but only as an each-way bet. And I like the White Mouse as well.
Is that a cover now? Is that a reverse bluff? Is that like, no, Frank actually had all the work done and then...
No, I think if you actually go back into the recording I did with Matt Chapman this morning for the shops for Paddy Power, you will see that I have tipped a White Mouse an hour and a half ago already.
Thompson. We have evidence. Just making sure.
While you were in bed or moving house or whatever it is you're trying to tell us you were doing and you were late for this podcast, I'm on my second round of work today already.
What a man, what a man. Doncaster we go, 205. It's the Bet365 December Novices Chase, a grade two. Of all the gin joints, even money favourite, House Island is fours, Hurricane Harvey 9-2, The Mighty Don is sixes, and 11-1, Milan Ford. Small but select field, Ruby, what did you think?
I just thought there was a couple at Doncaster, and this is the first one, Tom, that are going to be so hard to oppose. And of all the gin joints, is one of those. It's to pick one of the others, House Island, Hurricane Harvey, the Mighty Don, Milan Ford. I just can't see them beating them. I think the trip will suit them. Robbie Power is going up to Doncaster instead of maybe going to Cheltenham. It just ticks all the boxes for me. And I just can't find one to beat them. It's just simple as that.
Absolutely amazing name as well. Frank, what did you think here?
I think we can get them beaten.
Do you see that statement there, right? That's them. I think we can get him beaten. That's what used to bug me about bookmakers as well. Like, how exactly are you going to get the horse beaten? What you really mean is you're going to take him on because you think he kind of might get beaten, but you actually have no way of physically getting him beat. I'd hear coming on the television, we're going to get him beat. What are you going to do? Run out the track and trip him up or something?
I think he's too short in the market that even money suggests he's well clear, and I don't think he is. He ran really well at Aintree on his reappearance and his first start over fences, shaped like potentially the best horse in the race, but probably needed the time as well. Tis a horse out of form. Did win well at Exeter the last day. It was a handicap off 136. But Hurricane Harvey, for me, ran really well in the EBF final last year behind McFabulous and Severano. That was off the mark of just 131, but obviously McFabulous has gone bolted up in the Persian War and obviously hurdle at grade two, and then ran really well at Newbury when third behind Time Hill and Paisley Park. That was a solid run, just outstayed by probably, you know, two slightly better horses. Hurricane Harvey, I thought, was quite impressive on his chase debut at Utoxeter, where he beat Emmetam, and obviously Paddy's horse, Bossman Fred, was in it, and they fancied that, and they were a good bit clear of that horse who was in third.
There's a caveat there that Paddy fancies ever horse that he's ever had a leg in that ever ran. But go on anyway. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. I just thought 2.5 miles of good ground in Wincanton was just too sharp altogether for Hurricane Harvey. The last day, I'd forgive him that. Just J Law, just too speedy for him, and he could never really get into the race. I think the step up to 3 miles is really going to suit. Like, beating Emmetam is fair form. Look, Emmetam was probably not top class, but like, he was second behind Champ in a grade one novice hurdle at Aintree. And even going back to that EBF final, Severano's won his two chances this year as well. That's normally very strong form. It looks strong form. I thought it was significant as well that Paddy Brennan is going to Doncaster for this ride, and I think he has one other earlier in the card, when I think they have four running at Cheltenham. And I just thought that was a little bit interesting as well. And I think Hurricane Harvey is 92. I had him a good bit short when I priced it. I think the gap is too big.
Very interesting indeed.
Right, I'm just writing that down here myself, Tom.
That'll do you for ITV later on. 240 at Doncaster is the Bet365 Summit, a juvenile hurdle. Mon Miral is the 4-6 favourite for Paul Nichols and Sean Bowen. Gloria Zoff makes a trip for Gordon Elliott at 5-2. Next in, Cloud Thunder, 8-1. Gold Desert is also 8s. And Mr. Sister is the 20-1 outsider for Charlie Mann and Gavin Sheehan. Ruby, I think probably lots to learn here. Gloria Zoff for Gordon Elliott might necessarily win the race, but could leave them with a fairly in good picture into the UK juvenile form, couldn't he?
I think they have a good old line themselves anyway, Tom, but he's run in Sedgefield already where he was beaten. He obviously beat Crassus and Sligo. Thank you very much. You're such a gentleman. That public school education really comes out in you at times. Mon Miral, I watched him winning in Exeter and he didn't scream to me like a horse that wants to go to Doncaster. I know he jumped fractionally to his left, but Exeter is quite a stiff track. Doncaster is quite a fast track. And I kind of thought, oh, I looked at this. There could be something in here that could do him. But I'm going to stick my neck out again here, Frank. I don't think any of these are good enough to beat Mon Miral. He jumps left. I just think he's too good for them. He's won in France. He's won in Exeter. And I think he's a shorty that will go in.
Frank,
yeah.
Don't say you're going to get him beat. Just don't say that.
No, I was going to say, I don't think we can get him beat.
All right. No one in Doncaster will jump out in the track and trip this one up then.
It's just glorious off. Obviously, Gordon's got an unbelievable bunch of juvenile hurdlers this year, but I was very disappointed with Glorious Off getting beat at Sedgefield. That wasn't the strongest race, and it was a very poor performance considering, I wouldn't fancy him in a handicap off a mark of 131. Gold Desert was behind Glorious Off in third that day at Sedgefield, and Cloud Thunder, useful enough on the flat, but it's a tough introduction to hurdling here. Just Mon Miral, I think he'll just win. Be interesting. I think on his debut at Exeter, Paul Nichols suggested that the run was needed. So I thought it was quite an impressive performance, if that is the case. And I'd be very disappointed if he gets beaten.
Good racing at Fairy House as well on Saturday.
What highlight about the 3:15 in Doncaster?
You can have a look at that. It's not in the running order, but you can take it away.
Really. It's on ITV. It's on ITV, so I assume we were doing it.
Yeah, no, work away.
I actually, just because of probably a bullshit theory, but seeing as Paul Nichols was sending Mon Miral up there, who Alex Ferguson owns a share in, give me a copper runs and Acer runs in Alex Ferguson's colours. I thought he was lining a couple up for him, and give me a copper who's a very fragile horse but a talented one. Has his first run after a wind up, top weight, but I thought in what looks an open race, he had a great each way shout.
Lovely. 2:12 at Fairy House is the big race of the day, the Grade B handicap chase. Anything standing out at this stage, Ruby?
Yes, I thought there was a couple in it actually, and I thought one of those horses is, if you're willing to wait until the race has started to see exactly how he's behaved, and that's Yah Yah Fizz. If he lines up and jumps off in a prominent position, I wouldn't put anybody off backing him, but his behaviour at the race course lately has been rather unruly, to say the least. I thought Entucas was interesting on his handicap debut, but I liked Off You Go. I thought he ran really well in Cork on his last start behind Chatham Street Lad. Chatham Street Lad runs in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, and I just think Off You Go is still well enough in over fences, and he's going to have his day at some stage.
Frank, anything else for you in that race at Fairy House or elsewhere on Saturday?
I'd agree with Ruby, Off You Go. Slow burner over fences. If you go back to his hurdles career, he won a Ladbroke hurdle at Leopardstown off a mark of 143, peaked at a mark of 151. He's running here off 140. Ran really well at Cork when second to Chatham Street Lad, as Ruby's already said, off a mark of 138. That was his first run in 9 months, so I'd imagine he'll improve for it. If he does, he's definitely handicapped to go close. I had a few at Cheltenham. The 12:05, the juvenile hurdle, I thought Adagio would take a bit of beating here. I thought he shaped the best horse in the race the last day at Cheltenham. He was a bit too close to an overly strong pace. The finishing speed was 95.4%, which backs up that theory. That allowed Duffelcoat, who had been off the bridle out the back most of the way, to pick him up on the run-in. I think, as I said, he travelled really well and jumped well, much better than he jumped in his hurdles debut when we won at Warwick. I think the slightly better ground here would be a plus from two. I think he should win the 12.05. In the 1.30 at Doncaster, one here I thought very interesting was Whisht for Alistair Ralph. Was making her debut for him last time at Suddle in what was just her second handicap ever. Looked to be coming with a strong run when making an awful mistake at the last hurdle. Finished fifth, beating 4.5 lengths. I think if she hadn't made the mistake, she'd have gone really close. She runs off the same mark here, steps up from 2.5 miles to 3 miles. She was a winning point to pointer, so that should bring about improvement. I see one firm has her put in at 18-1 already. That would look massive to me. And just two at Hereford that are a little bit interesting. The 157, 2 mile novice chase, Elixir de Nuit, very decent novice hurdler, beat Itchy Feet in a grade two and beat Grand Sansi in the grade one Tower Hurdle. Was near the top of the market for the Supreme before meeting with a setback and missing the race. He struggled in group two, group one company last year in his two runs, but he's still only six. He's had a wind up since last season. He's up against a Patriot here who's conceding a £5 penalty. Fast Bucks on his first start from Nichols, or for Paul Nichols from Willie Mullins. Those Jared Sullivan horses have been tainted in either first run. So I just thought Elixir de Nuit was a bit interesting. He could make up into a very nice handicap chaser this season. And I just give one more chance in the 2.32 to Thinking. Disappointing in the Greatwood, but that was a warm race for him on his stable debut after nearly after over 2 years off the track. If you go back to his French win and hurdles debut, it would suggest his opening mark of 132 was fair, but the handicappers dropped him £5 to 127. Fergus Gillard, very good value for his £5 claim, and the Pipe Yard remain in form. They've had a 25% strike rate for the last 2 weeks. So I just wouldn't give up on him yet. I think he's capable of winning a race at some stage.
Lovely stuff. Moderate stuff at Carlisle on Sunday. We've got all weather at Sutherland, Lingfield, and then Group 1 action in Sha Tin. Anything else anywhere standing out to either of you on Sunday? You're allowed to say no.
Limerick halftime, full time.
Limerick halftime, full time in the All Ireland hurling final.
Limerick winner. I have won just at the 2.30 Sutherland. Hopefully the handbrake will be off this horse. Another theatre, you know, caused a bit of a furore on Twitter when one of this owner's horses won and he changed his profile picture to a handbrake. But this horse, had two runs over fences in August and September, didn't really like chasing. But if you go back 2 years ago, landed a bit of a touch in a novice hurdle at Catterick around Christmas time and followed up at Newcastle in a handicap off a mark of 114. Struggled in two hurdle races since. Ran in a strong Chepstow race last November when midfield behind Simply the Bets. That wasn't a bad effort off a mark of 120, but it's now back down to that mark of 114 that it last won off at Newcastle. And if this is strong in the market, I would definitely be following it in.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Right. Time for best bets of the weekend. Ruby, we'll start with you. What is your best bet of the weekend?
Fairy House in the 3.22. Brandy Love. It's a brandy time of year, isn't it?
Brandy Love. It is a brandy time of year. Not a big brandy. Would you drink a
Me?
Brandy?
No.
Yeah.
I used to when I was younger. Got sense then.
I thought it would be like an old man drink as opposed to a young
I usually do
drink,
things but the wrong way around, Tom, and I went at it when I was young rather than old and sickened me.
Interesting. Frank, ever try a brandy?
I do, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a brandy in my life.
I used to work in a bar in college and stuff like for a good few years, so I'd have tried nearly everything, like, you know. It's all right, like, yeah.
Fine everything, Frank.
Pardon?
Define everything.
Yeah. I would know everything alcohol-wise, Ruby. Don't be insinuating anything more. Alcohol is enough for me. Even though I'm saying that, I've barely drank this year, so the next time I get out, I'm going to be a pity. But brandy's grand. Like, it's better than Gold Swagger, I'll put it that way.
You set the bar high, didn't you?
And your best bet of the weekend,
my
then?
Best of the weekend. I'm actually going to go with, I might ruin my own price for myself, the 130 Doncaster, Huisht
in Doncaster. Right, oh, time for a few quick questions from social media. This is a really interesting question, I thought. From Tina, to both of you, Ruby, I'll ask it to you first. If anyone else in the world trained Altior, would he have run last Saturday in the Tingle Creek?
I don't really get the context of the question. If anybody else in the world trained Altior, well, if Bob Baffett was training him, he probably wouldn't have even been lined up in the Tingle Creek.
You know exactly what the question
no,
means.
No, it's not. Well, then,
you know exactly what it means.
What you mean is,
come on, you know exactly.
In Ireland or England, would he have run last weekend? Write the question properly. Would he have run last weekend? I don't think so. I understand what Nicky Henderson was trying to do. He didn't fancy putting Altior out to get beaten or have a hard race. That's my understanding of it. And I think he didn't run him, but to me, maybe he just shouldn't have bothered declaring him. I can see what he's doing. He's trying to get a nice first run into him and have him ready for a big race. And he just deemed the Tingle Creek to be too stiff on that ground for him.
But you're hardly going to get a soft touch in a Grade 1 anyway, are you?
No, you're not. Well, not necessarily, but there are, every race has different strengths. Some are stronger than others. And I think, you know, after being so bullish about him all week, I don't really know, Tommy. He obviously didn't fancy it. I'd say he thought he was going to get beaten or have a harder race than he wanted him to have, and he didn't run him. And, you know, it's easy to comment on it now. It's in March is when you shall have your comment. If his plan has played out the way he wanted it, if he wins the Champion Chase, he's right. If he doesn't win the Champion Chase, he'd have gotten it wrong.
Frank, same question to you. If anyone else in the world had trained Altior, would he have run last Saturday?
Potentially, yes. Like, I had a good think about this the other night. I think, look, connections and trainer are entitled to do what they want with their horse. If they think that's best for him, they're entitled to do it. Now, my one issue with the whole scenario was reading Twitter, and obviously Twitter is a cesspit at the best of times, but there were so many people giving out about it. And then you had, I call it like the racing fraternity coming back with, how many winners have you trained, or how many winners have you ridden? And I think what they need to realize is,
how many non-runners have you declared?
Yeah, but like, what you have to realize is racing is a product. And like, if you were going to a Liverpool match and you found out that Salah, Mane and Firmino were rested, you'd be very disappointed. I think it's similar here, where people want to see the best horses. You know what I mean? You're trying to sell a product, and the best horse running on Saturday didn't run. And as Ruby said, if you're not going to run him, don't declare him. I think you're only leaving yourself open to a bit of criticism. But I just think they need to realize that, you know, yeah, you need to do what's best for the horse. But you have to realize too, people are entitled to be disappointed and entitled to air the frustration with it as well. Like, as you said, it is a sport where you're trying to attract new people into it. I think it's dangerous just to be dismissive of their opinion because they're not racing people. That would be my opinion on it.
A slightly easier question now from Fergal. Frank, novice chasing Trixie for the festival.
Novice. That's easy.
I mean, like, everyone's just going to go Shiskin, Envoy, Elaine and Monkfish, aren't they?
There's your answer. It's Trixie he wants. He wants the lotto anyway.
That's not my style now to be going for ones that short. If Ruby will tell us where that Energamine is going, he'll be in line. Wherever he ends up.
Someone could tell me where Energamine is going. I'd love to know too. Personally,
two?
I'd say two, yeah. I'd run two at Christmas.
I'll be perfectly honest, yeah. I'd fancy him to turn over Shiskin.
I'm only guessing. I would say come Christmas time, looking at what Willie Mullins has, he's going to have to send a couple to Limerick and a couple to Leopardstown. I wouldn't be surprised if Energamine ended up in Leopardstown. And then you'll have a guide as to where he's going come springtime. If he can win over two in Leopardstown, there's a chance he'd stay down the Arkle Road. If he gets beaten, he'd have to go back up and trip. So
yeah.
Like, if that answers your question.
I would be very excited to see Shiskin against Ergamine in the Arkham. It would be immense.
Have I been pronouncing his name wrong for the whole time? I used to always call him Ergamine.
I'm almost certainly got it wrong because my pronunciation.
I'm asking Tom here. That's your reading of it. You could have the design. You could have the design on, Tom.
I would have gone with Ergamine, yeah, but I'm a pig at the best of times, so I haven't a clue. So, but anyway, we'll leave it there, gents. Thank you very much for your time.
You call yourself that, a man of your stature and education and rank in society, calling yourself a pig.
Jesus Christ. Well, I've been called a lot worse, let me tell you. Anyway, my thanks. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks, as always, to Frank and Ruby. Thanks to you for listening. Make sure to opt in to the Millionaire Chase and check out all the latest odds and offers on paddypower.com. For now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.